Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week, for allowing us to gather together once again. I pray that God has answered your prayers throughout the past week, and you know that he will continue to do so because of his love for you. So again, welcome, dear ones. And who would like to offer opening prayer for our service? Please feel free.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father Jesus, we thank you so much for the abundance of your love, your mercy, and your grace on this blessed and joyful Sabbath day. We thank you, dear Lord, for all that the little ones have learned today in the Sabbath school, both in the Spanish Sabbath school and English. We pray for the little ones that they continue to stay encouraged, dear Lord, and that you fill their hearts with your love and peace and grace. We pray now for our dear brother Bob, that you please anoint him and give him the right words to speak, and have him walk according to the way that you would have him walk. Let us all be attentive and participate and seek your face in all things throughout the rest of this blessed Sabbath day. May your holy name be glorified forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. We are continuing in our study book. This is Christ Object Lessons. We are in chapter 14, titled, Shall Not God Avenge His Own? And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended was that if you're going through temptation and trials and situations that are not peaceful, never fear to go to God. If someone is treating you wrong, if you're being falsely accused, whatever the persecution or temptation may be, flee to God, pray to him. Because he will never turn you away. But you have to come to him with a contrite and sincere heart. So, God wants you to treat him as a father that he is. And Jesus wants you to talk to him as your best friend. But you can't mistreat them or take them for granted, because that would not be sincere or sincerity. That would be seeking to take advantage. So if you come to them in sincerity, in honesty, with a contrite heart, then that prayer God will hear, even if you're the weakest of his children. So never fear, because God is there to hear. And so that's where we left off last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph, pretty close, about two-thirds of the way down on page 174. You who feel the most unworthy, fear not to commit your case to God. When he gave himself in Christ for the sin of the world, he undertook the case of every soul. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Will he not fulfill the gracious word given for our encouragement and strength? And of course, the answer is yes. So it's amazing when you look at the sacrifice of Christ in order to save you and me from sin and death. But it's even more amazing to recognize that Christ was not all by himself in the sacrifice. Because it mentions here that the Father gave himself in Christ for the sin of the world. He, the Father, undertook the case of every soul. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ, seeking to bring the world unto himself. So when we look at Christ enduring temptations and trials and sacrificing himself for the good of others, it was the Father experiencing the same, agreeing to do the same in Christ Jesus. So it was like the Father was acting through Christ, even though it was Christ that was acting, if you understand. So the Father has a intimate experience in each one of our lives. He's not just sitting on a throne kind of watching and then looking elsewhere. He has a vital interest in your life, in my life, in the life of all of his people. Because he wasn't just a bystander in the plan of salvation. He was actively involved in this great plan. So that's how much he loves you, dear ones, and is interested in your welfare. So no matter how unworthy you may feel, no matter how sinful you may be, God wants you to come to him just as you are. And he will hear your prayer. He will grant you the grace and the strength in order to stand for him. And your prayer will be answered. Good morning, dear Sister Chaka.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. I'm glad to have you in fellowship with us.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. So God has given us these promises in his word as an encouragement, and we have the assurance that he will back up his promises with fulfilling them, with action, because God never lies. What he says, he will do. So don't be afraid to go to God with your prayers and petitions. Any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones, before we continue? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Christ desires nothing so much as to redeem his heritage from the dominion of Satan. But before we are delivered from Satan's power without, we must be delivered from his power within. The Lord permits trials in order that we may be cleansed from earthliness, from selfishness, from harsh and Christ-like traits of character. He suffers the deep waters of affliction to go over our souls in order that we may know him and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, in order that we may have deep heart longings to be cleansed from defilement and may come forth from the trial, purer, holier, happier. Often we enter the furnace of trial with our souls darkened with selfishness. But if patient under the crucial test, we shall come forth reflecting the divine character. When his purpose in the affliction is accomplished, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Psalm 37:6.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So Christ desires to redeem you and me from the dominion of Satan. But notice here that it says, before we can be delivered from Satan's power outside of us, without, we must be delivered from Satan's power within us. And how is that accomplished? The Lord allows trials to come to us so that we may be cleansed within from earthliness, from selfishness, from harsh, un-Christ-like traits of character. So there's three things here. Three things that the devil keeps us connected with him. One is earthliness. Do you find yourselves desiring more to devote your energy to things that are earthly instead of devoting your free time to heavenly things, to God, study of his word? If so, then the earthly has a greater attraction to you than the heavenly. And that earthliness is what the devil utilizes to keep you from growing in knowledge of God and Christ and heavenly themes. So that's one way. Another way is from selfishness. When something happens and catches you by surprise, is your first thought how it affects you? Or is your thought how it affects others, or perhaps the person that brought about the situation? Are your first thoughts about yourself, or are they about others? If your first thoughts are about yourself, that is selfishness. You're looking at it from the aspect of how it affects you, how you felt about it. How dare someone do that? Why did they say such things to me? That's all centered around self. And thus the devil has a hold in your life. Another way that we remain connected with the devil within is if we are harsh or are unchristlike in character. Now, you can look at that as two different things or combined together into one. So being harsh is not having the grace to say things or to act in a way that will bring peace instead of war. Now, there is a time for war. But a lot of time that warfare is centered in self instead of helping others through calculated actions or through the spirit working through you to seek to wake them up. For instance, when the prophet Nathan came to King David and brought to him the parable about this poor man had one sheep and the rich man took it from him so that he wouldn't have to use any of his own. And David said, well, this man's worthy to die. He's going to restore four times that lamb because he had no mercy. And then Nathan said, thou art the man. You have done this. You have slain Uriah with the sword. So those were very sharp, harsh words, but they were necessary because it woke David up to his great crime. Now, David had done nothing to Nathan, so it wasn't Nathan's self-defense that was being harsh. It was the Spirit impressing Nathan with exactly what to say and the Spirit working on David's heart to respond in the right way. So if we are earthly, if we are self-centered, if we are not allowing the Spirit to be like a gatekeeper to our mouths and only allow the words to come out that are necessary, then the devil has a hold within. His power is being exercised through us. And we're revealing his characteristics instead of the characteristics of Christ. So God allows trials and tribulation and different things that are calculated to expose the devil's foothold within. So then, what are we to do? When these trials and temptations and tribulations come, what are we to do?
To pray to God and give it to him.
Amen. Recognize you're being tempted. Pray to God for help. Submit. What's that, sister?
Yes, excuse me. It talks about in great controversy, Satan invents every scheme to engross the mind, to not study, to not have prayer. He invents every scheme for you to not pray or study the Bible. And it becomes so overwhelmed.
Amen. Amen. That's true. He wants to keep us distracted, from, especially from recognizing the time in which we live. And the best way to distract us is to get our thoughts off of the spiritual things that are necessary for salvation. An easy way to do that is through television. When you're watching a program, your thoughts are not on spiritual things or heavenly themes or learning more about the scriptures, but you're caught up in whatever that program is dealing with. Another way is the devil can get you involved in texting on your phone or visiting social websites or something that will keep your mind occupied in other areas. Now, you can utilize the internet and social websites for spreading the truth, but a lot of time you're caught up in the news of the day or some witty statement that someone said and how their cat has acted over the past week. I mean, the devil can also get you involved in games, video games. And that, of course, keeps your mind occupied in that particular game for however long you're playing it. And thus you're distracted away from heavenly themes. So that's very true, dear sister. So what if you find yourselves being distracted by earthly themes? recognize you're being tempted. Your mind is being drawn away. Pray to God for help to resist. Submit your will to do God's will. And then resist. Don't give in. Now, there is a time and place for everything that is not harmful. So it's very difficult to be studying God's word every moment of every hour of the Sabbath, because that would be intemperance. So there's proper times for rest. There's proper times for allowing your mind to dwell on subjects that are not scriptural. For instance, subjects that deal with nature. Nature is another lesson book that God has given and created for drawing our mind to Him and appreciating the great things that He has done. There's a time for resting, for not allowing your mind to dwell on any particular subject, but just allow it to rest. And in that quietness, you can hear the Spirit speaking to you much more easily, much more easier. Yeah, amen. So when you resist by submitting your will to God, then Christ is drawn to your side, and the devil then has to flee because he can't stay in the presence of Christ. Christ is his conqueror. So he doesn't want to remain where Christ is. So we have to recognize the temptation, or we're going to go right in with it. We have to pray to God for help, or there's no way that we're going to be able to overcome it. We then have to submit our will to do God's will, or we're going to do our own will, and then we're going to fall. And then we have to resist. When we put forth the effort to resist speaking the harsh word, resist looking at things from a selfish perspective, resist the temptation to use time that would be better devoted to God and using it towards an earthly theme, then God recognizes our sincerity, our earnestness, and He will then grant us the grace and the strength that we need to overcome by bringing Himself to us. We have to open the door. That's action, to let Christ in. He's not going to break the door down. So He wants to be with us, but we have to let Him into the heart if we're going to have the devil's power within our heart overcome. So if we want freedom from the devil tempting us without, we have to get rid of him from within. And that can only be done through a union of Christ and our efforts to get rid of the devil within. So recognize, pray, submit, resist, and you will be victorious through Christ, which strengthens you. Any comments or questions, dear ones?
Well, I know that by God's grace, here we all are today. And it's by His grace that we are even today and come into a greater understanding of His word, truth. And by that same grace, He has given us strength to overcome any character flaws and tendencies that we have had in our lives, even from childhood. I speak to myself from many different
challenges that I had to endure from being little and even going through youth and young adulthood and adulthood, there were many different things that were laid inside my heart by those that surrounded me, by the household I was raised in, by the friends that I kept. All these different things added to problems, really, in my character, and problems that really embed themselves in your heart, because that's what the adversary wants to happen, to keep you away from thinking about things of God, eternal things. Understand that we are mortals. We are not immortal yet. That immortality is in Christ Jesus. I share that for this reason, and that is that I see that by God's grace, here I have made it this far. And I remember when I was but a youth, I used to think to myself, like, I would never even see the age of 50. Because to me, when I was so young, that just seemed like such an old age, like I would never even make it so far as to that. And I think also I was looking at the traumatic things that were happening around and the young lives that were going to their graves without really even knowing God and family members and things like that. And I really, in my heart, desire that I could have something like that that God was talking about or that I had heard about Jesus, and I really didn't understand about it. But in my heart, I wanted to know something. And I really believe that by God's grace, here I am, even to this day, because maybe even that little prayer of wanting to know who Jesus was more, the Lord took that and ran with it and kept me alive even until this day. And I believe that he has done that to millions upon millions of lives because he loves us. And he really doesn't desire that any should die in their sins, but that all should come to repentance and salvation through Christ Jesus. So for what is being shared here is true. We really have to flee. We really have to seek the Lord's face for strength to overcome these different character flaws that we have, and whether they were traits that we practiced, whether they were passed on, whether it's because of our social grounding. We really have to be very mindful and guard our hearts in all these areas and give ourselves over to the Lord more and more each day, because there really is a greater joy. And there have been some great victories that I have seen through even this week on how the Lord has moved in very powerful ways, and ways in which I never thought. And I am both rejoicing, but at the same time, I'm wondering, am I really going to be able to face all these different things, Lord? Because there's so much that is really ahead. And we're living in such exciting times, but yet solemn times at the same time. So it's really exciting. I find it to be very exciting, but yet I also find it to be very sobering and solemn time, because there are so many dear souls that need to be won. And yet here we have the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to return, and the angels are moving with great haste here and there upon the people of God's hearts and around the world, stirring people up to question what is really taking place right now, and causing people, I believe in my heart, really examine themselves even more and to cry out unto God, where are you? Who are you? How do I know you? And can you save me and deliver me from all these different things? So I praise God for his mercy and grace, and I praise him for the strength that he gives and for the answering of prayer, because he is very loving and he really does want to answer our prayers. But we have to really make sure that we are placing ourselves in a position where those prayers can be answered. If we are willingly and consciously practicing things and involving ourselves in things that are not pleasing to God, then we really have no promise of those particular precious promises and prayers being answered like that, Because why would those gifts be given if they would just be squandered on selfishness or on harshness, developing more of an un-Christ-like character? No, that is not what the Lord wants us to be able to do. Well, I'm just thankful to God. I know I kind of run on, but I'm thankful to God for the many blessings that I have to really give him glory that he unfolded even in this past week and 2 weeks within my life, in growth and in promises and in opportunities. I rejoice in my heart and pray that the Lord will continue the work inside of me, and even as it's spoken, of overcoming things from the outside of me, and not just for me, but for all those that love his appearing. I'm praying for that also.
Amen. And we're praying with you, dear brother, and thank you for your prayers for us. So how long will God allow a trial or a temptation or a situation to occur? Just a short time, medium, or long? How long will the trial last?
Until you get the message and make a choice.
Make the right choice. We're told here that when God's purpose in the affliction is accomplished, then he will bring forth thy righteousness. In other words, we've overcome together. So if you find yourselves in a trial that just never seems to end, then there's still a lesson that you haven't yet learned. If you find that the same kind of trial occurs over and over and over again, it's because you haven't yet learned what God would have you learn. So God may bring a trial 40 different times in 40 different ways, but it's all targeted to that one area in your heart or in your life or character that you need to recognize, repent of, have it cleansed, and then given grace to overcome and develop a new habit in righteousness now. And the reason why God does that is because he sees that that area is preventing you from being saved. And he wants you to be saved. So God in mercy and in love brings you over the same ground again and again and again and again until you recognize why. You see the area that is keeping you from being saved. You repent of it. You accept Christ's forgiveness and his cleansing blood for it. And then you get the grace to do differently. Now, with many of us, the problem that we have that's keeping us from heaven is a lack of patience. When we become impatient, that is selfishness urging for a different course or for it to be over quickly. Self rises up and says, I've had enough. And it's that very issue of self rising up and making us impatient that is the area for why God allowed that trial or that temptation or that affliction, whatever it may be. So if we become impatient over and over and over and over again, then God's going to allow the same kind of trial over and over and over and over again until we learn our lesson. Because if we don't learn our lesson, we're going to be lost. So when God's purpose in the affliction, in the trial, in the circumstance is accomplished, in other words, we've recognized our fault, and we now are asking God for help to overcome it. We're submitting our will to Him. In other words, we're not becoming impatient. We're refusing to become impatient. We're submitting our will to His will. And we're resisting that temptation to be impatient. God will then give us the grace and the strength to overcome it, and we'll be patient. And we'll come forth from that particular trial purer, holier, and happier. So God doesn't want any of us to be lost. And that's why He allows the devil to enter in with his temptations, with his trials, with affliction, with persecution, so that we can learn where the problem is within us, pray for help to overcome it, submit our will to God and not to self, and then go forward in resisting that wrong area. And God will then give us the grace to become a victor through Christ, which strengthens us. He'll bring forth our righteousness as the light. Where did we get that righteousness? God gave us the grace and the strength to follow the example of Christ and be righteous. So it's our righteousness, but it only came from God's grace. So it's a combination, dear ones. Without His grace, we'd never be able to be righteous or victors, overcomers. But with His grace being added to our effort to overcome, we gained the victory through Christ, which strengthened us. So we've developed habits of doing wrong because we've given in to wrong desires. God allows us to see the wrong desires, which have given power to developing a character doing wrong. We need to recognize these areas instead of just accepting, well, that's the way I am, or that's how I was raised, or that's what I do. We need to keep from making excuses for our satanic characteristics and then flee to God for help to overcome, submitting our will to do His will, and then resisting in faith that God is going to give us the grace and the strength to continue resisting until it's been overcome. And if it's been overcome, now you're developing a new characteristic. You're developing a new habit, one that doesn't give in to impatience, one that doesn't give in to complaining, one that doesn't give in to selfishness, one that resists it and overcomes it through Christ, which gives you the strength. Now you've gained the victory over that trial or whatever it may be. And you come forth a victor. Victory in Christ. You're now purer than you were before, holier than you were before, and even happier, even though it wasn't fun to go through it. So if you're wondering why the same thing happens over and over and over again to you, the same person is troubling you, or the same temptation comes to you that targets your anger spot, your impatient spot, your selfish spot. Now you know why. God sees that you need to overcome it or you're going to be lost. And so in love, he continues to allow the same kind of trial to affect you, hoping that this time you're going to recognize the problem and then overcome it. Where are we here? Well, that jumped a whole page down. So then what are you going to do, dear ones? Are you going to be freed, delivered from Satan's foothold in your life? Or are you going to cherish his foothold in your life? It's a choice. And you make that choice every time you're tempted or going through trial or wondering why the very same thing is occurring that has been going on for years. Amen. A comment in the room says, I think we have to read the Bible and the books, Spirit of Prophecy, so that we know what to overcome. Continuing, because God does not stick his head out of the sky and tell you. That's true. And that's why the first part of overcoming is to recognize that you're being tempted. And sometimes we don't take the time to recognize it. We just kind of knee-jerk react instead of examining ourselves. Why am I reacting that way? Why do I have these thoughts? Why am I centering on how I feel all the time instead of how others may feel? We need to recognize we're being tempted. And sometimes that temptation is just a thought. But we still have to choose to give into that thought. So God gave us his Ten Commandments that we can examine our lives by that standard of righteousness. So are you examining your actions, your thoughts, your words, your deeds by God's law? Or are you just going along with whatever feeling or emotion or thought that comes to you? Any comments, thoughts, questions, dear ones?
Well, if you don't overcome, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't. It'd only be for overcomers.
That's very true. But to him or her that overcometh, they'll have the right to the tree of life. They'll be able to enter in through the gates into the holy city. So amen, dear sister. Comment in the room, we might have a trial and not know what it's for. That's true. So if something is occurring to you and you don't know the reason why, go to God. Ask him why. You may never discover the reason, but it's by being patient through that trial and determining that you're not going to feel in any way that will displease God. You're not going to allow your emotions to control in any way that displeases God. You're not going to say anything that displeases God. You're not going to think in a way that will displease God. Then he'll bring you through that trial, even though you may not know why you had it. He'll bring you through victoriously. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Comment in the room is, sometimes I wish God would tell us what is for. That would make it nice, wouldn't it? But then we wouldn't be led to depend upon God and wait upon God. If we always knew the answer why something has happened. So we need to develop not just patience, but waiting on the Lord. And we're promised, amen, trust and obey. We're promised that Christ will tell us the reason why all these things happen. We're not just given the time that Christ will do that. So we may learn why after we've overcome it, or after the trial has been taken away or removed, God's purpose accomplished. Then we'll recognize, oh, yes, okay, thank you, Lord, that's why. Or the trial may lead us to examining ourselves or bringing forth deeper heart longings to be cleansed from defilement in whatever area it may be. And then we'll recognize, God will then tell us, well, this is the reason why. Or we may have to wait until we get to heaven and are walking with Christ along the banks of the river of life. Then he'll open our understanding and we can see why we went through that particular situation or situations. Any other thoughts or comments, students? So what we need to remember, dear ones, we only went through two paragraphs, but it was very important paragraphs. And what we need to remember is that God loves you and desires you to be saved so you can be with him forevermore. And because he loves you so much, he allows these trials, these temptations, these persecutions to free us from the devil having a foothold in our hearts. And once we recognize where the devil has been living in our hearts, and we, through Christ's grace and strength, expel him from our hearts, now we're that much closer to God, that much closer to salvation, that much more purer, holier, and happier than we were before. Amen. Promises, words that are sweet as honey, wonderful words of life. Amen. And when you feast on God's sweet word, sometimes it makes your belly bitter because you're going through all these experiences. But if you endure until the end, if you hold fast, if you finish your course, if you keep the faith, if you cross the finish line, then your bitterness is turned to happiness, contentment, joy everlasting. And you'll look back and say, it was worth it all. Heaven is cheap enough. My little bit of self-denial compared to God's infinite self-denial was worth it all. In fact, it can't even compare. Heaven is such a an overwhelming reward for our light affliction compared to what Christ went through. What a Father we have, dear ones, to reward us with such immensity for just our decision to follow him, regardless of the cost. Recognize, pray, submit, resist. Well, next time we'll pick it up at the next paragraph that starts out, there is no danger that the Lord will neglect your prayer. And that is about a third of the way down on page 175. So that's where we'll pick it up next time. And who would like to have closing prayer?
Thank you, dear Lord, for the Sabbath day, a reminder once a week that God is the creator and the author of life. Thank you that he reveals his character to us through life, through love, and help us to think of those things before we say something ugly to someone else. Thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for Let There Be Light Ministries. Thank you for our brothers and sisters that we fellowship with. And thank you for the internet, which makes it possible. Be with us to the next meeting. Send the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes, our thoughts, and may we hear the words of truth In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us take a 10-minute break and then return back here at 11:41 Pacific time or 2:41 Eastern time. So 10 minutes, dear one.